This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Hello, good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, welcome along wherever you are in the world. This is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us, whether you are watching along on YouTube or listening on your favourite podcast platform. Thank you for joining us, whichever way you are doing it. And I've got to say a special welcome along to all our Leeds fans that I know will be joining us, because I've had more comments this weekend from Leeds fans than I have from Leicester fans. But I've got to say, open up by saying, look, well done on your, you know, FA Cup triumph at the weekend. You deserved it, and I don't blame you celebrating like you did. It was a great win for you. How did the open top bus ride go? Arsenal. Eric Morecambe there for you. But look, we've not done one of these before, and we are being joined by a Leeds fan, but also being joined by a bit of a Leicester legend as well. And we will be looking back at this weekend's matches, although I'm going to be honest with you that the Leicester one will be the one we talk about at the end for obvious reasons. Nate is back again. Hiya, Nate. How are you doing? All the way from good old US of A. Thank you very much for joining us. And let's bring him in and say hello, first of all, to Craig. You will know this guy if you've ever used to go down to the club. Welcome along, Craig. How the devil are you, sir?
Yeah, good to be on. Thank you for the invite, Chris.
Nope, thank you very much for joining us. Your first time on, and so you are very, very welcome. Unfortunately, we couldn't supply a good result for you to talk about. But look, we've only lost six all season. It's not bad going, is it?
Not really. And like you said earlier, you know, we're still top of the league, still a few points ahead. So fingers crossed we can go into the match on Saturday. I know we've got a cup game tomorrow, like, but fingers crossed, I'd rather have the 3 points.
Tickets. Only the second game that I am seeing this season. The last one was away to Southampton and we stuffed them. So fingers crossed. I mean, we have lost six games, as in fact have Leeds. But, you know, they do like to celebrate their occasional win. Carl, good evening, sir. How are you? Happier than we are, I'm thinking.
Yeah, good evening, Chris. Good evening, Chris. Yeah, listen, I know we have this open top bus, and at least we're not asshole-like when they take a picture after the game of the team celebrating like they did with you lot a few seasons ago when you won the Premier League. So we're not like ass, okay? Let's just get that over with. Second, it's a Friday night in Leeds. If we win a big game, of course we'll have an open top bus parade. We got the long weekend to celebrate. So just be, yeah, you know, Friday night Leeds is not bad.
What was it you said, though, Craig, about doing the double?
Well, yeah, they've done the double on us, and fair play to them. But, you know, they've done the double and we're still 6 points clear.
I know. Sorry, just
be careful of those words when you say that at the end of the season. Because, like I say, we'll come back to haunt you like it's just a silent of wind.
Everything I say, I always end it with at this moment. So,
yeah,
there we go. Craig has supported Leicester long enough to know nobody shoots themselves in the foot like Leicester, do they, Craig?
Oh, 100%. You know, there's times, isn't there, when we've been running away with it, we've slipped up. You know, look at the Premier League season when we won it, you know, it was touch and go for a little bit. And then just out of nowhere, we started just picking up points, winning it. Best season ever for me as a Leicester fan.
Oh, obviously
got some sad reasons and good reasons, you know, to look back on. But like you said, we're here in the moment. We're 6 points clear. Looks like we're hopefully going back to the Premier League. So,
yeah,
lift for now.
Fingers crossed. Well, I've got to say, sorry about this, Carl, but I was just looking at the predictions. I know it's a cup game tomorrow, but very, very quickly, Chris Sutton was up against Kaiser Chief bassist and Leeds United fan Simon Ricks.
Yeah.
He's a Leeds United fan, but he has actually gone to Leicester to win 2-1 over Bournemouth. So we do like some Leeds fans.
Yeah, don't be surprised. I think you could beat Bournemouth on it because I thought Bournemouth could have took the chances against City this past weekend, but I think you go as a bit more of the stronger team this weekend tomorrow night. I really do. So I would back you guys to beat Bournemouth, actually.
Well, according to Enzo, Craig, we could have 11 changes, so I don't know.
Well, and this is it, isn't it, Chris? You know, when you've got players that are sitting on the bench week in, week out, and, you know, we're no managers ourselves, but, you know, you'd like to see at least a couple of them into the first team. I think when Dennis Pratt's been coming in, he's played really, really well. Yeah. Hamza Chowdhury, to be fair, he's done a little job for us, and it will be nice to see full games for them tomorrow and the changes and pushing for a starting place.
Did you want to go to the toilet, Carl?
No, I'll just sort my camera just to adjust this. Right. Don't move. Okay. That was
you don't,
it.
You don't have yeah, to ask, like, you know.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that. It was just the signal to just see the camera just to stay still. So don't worry.
Right. Well, like I say, we will be covering that game at the end, unless we run out of time. But let's start with the game that kicked off about, it was 15 minutes before hours on the Friday night. Coventry City were hosting Preston North End. Now, that's another team, Craig, that has gone on an open-top bus tour, having beaten us. But, Carl, I'll come to you first. I've got to say, I am absolutely doing useless in the Prediction League, and I got 2 points from the whole weekend, all 12 games. I got two outcomes correct, but I didn't get any scores correct. I went for a Coventry win here. I don't know, both these teams are up and down, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. I think Coventry's trying to get that final playoff position along with Hull. I was just surprised how they lost 3-0 at home to Preston. That was very surprised because probably said Preston was the earliest bit of setters at the start of the season. They dropped away a bit during Christmas in January, during November, Christmas time. And I think since January onwards, after when we beat them, they have been on a bit of a better run. But I thought Coventry could have won the game quite easily. But yeah, 3 points for Larry and Lowe and his team. They're still chugging out in the top half of the table.
They are. They'd actually took them above Coventry, Craig. And I mean, Preston, look, we played them earlier in the season when they were top of the league. And to my mind, they were awful. But they always do that. They always seem to have a good start, then drop off. Coventry, look, we had the banter with Coventry. They obviously lost in the playoff final last season. That was a shame, wasn't it? And but they, I thought, would be doing better this season. But they're kind of stuck in mid-table. Again, did this go the way that you thought it might have done?
Being at home on Friday and losing 3-0, the fans are going to be disappointed. They're currently 3-0 up at the minute in their cup game. So, you know, a bit of a turnaround at the minute. So, again, a couple of changes. And it just, there's players out there that want to prove a point and get into a starting lineup in the, you know, in the league game. So, you know, some of them are shining tonight and going to be contained.
They are playing Maidstone United, though.
They are. But, you know, you'd think Maidstone United would be up for it. And the 3-0 down. But, you know, say there's players out there that are probably going to be contenders for the next league game.
Yes. Oh, that's it. They've got the, and some of our players will be doing that tomorrow night as well. And I say Maidstone United, I'm not putting to disrespect them. I mean, I say I was talking not half an hour ago about Wycombe Wanderers. So let's not let's not forget how these lower league team clubs can do us. But fair play to Preston. They're both trying to get into that playoff position. And if I just bring the form table up for the last five games. Did I have to lead the top? But Coventry City are 11th. And where are Preston? I can't even find Preston. You're not that low down. Have they not put Preston in here? Oh, they're third. So I suppose, on fairness, Preston not doing too bad there. But that was the Friday game. There was another game on Friday, but let's not talk about that at the moment. Going into the early kickoff, Carl, on the Saturday, Hull 1, West Bromwich Albion 1. Again, both teams going for the playoffs.
Yeah, very much so. I think, like I said, Hull are probably being on the hottest team on form. All those teams are chasing the final play spot. I think West Brom, you know, coming to get a draw helps them a bit more. But I think Hull could have had a bit more chances. But unfortunately, it just, you know, I was not surprised by the outcome. I think it was a fair draw between two playoff chasing teams.
Indeed. And again, I mean, I thought West Brom gave us a good game, and obviously Hull actually beat us, Craig. But West Brom, these are games that really surely West Brom want to be winning if they, you know, are going to be considered serious playoff contenders.
Yeah, I think what we're forgetting as well, the Championship, you know, is a tough league. There's some good competition. And as you can see, you know, the top six, like, I don't know I've not looked at the table really since we lost Friday night, to be fair. But I mean, it is a battle up there, isn't it? Like you say, you know, a one draw for two teams that are contending to be in the playoffs. And we've got Hull coming up in a couple of weeks as well. So that's going to be another massive game for us, you know. And who knows what's going to happen, really. It's like dog eat dog at the minute.
Oh, definitely, 100%. I actually just looking at my predictions just for the laugh, and I did go for Hull to win 2-1. I mean, Hull beat us. Hull are certainly, the form team at the moment, being in fifth, West Brom down in 10th. But Carl, I mean, when you look at the table, and I honestly think, and we'll talk about it more later, obviously, that Leicester and Leeds will be the two that go up, whatever order that is in. And then you've got Ipswich and you've got Southampton. And I think those four are going to be in the top six. But it's the other two places. It changes every week, doesn't it?
It does. It does, especially that last spot. I think West Ham's been in fifth for quite fifth for quite a while. So it is just going to be interesting who finishes. I think Hull and Coventry will have the edge, but I don't know who's going to have the easiest fixtures coming towards the end of the season. I think Coventry's going to still need to get the home back and form running. It's their waveforms that I'm worried about Coventry. I think Hull at home are a lot more better, and they're not too bad away. So I think there's a chance that I think Hull might pip it, but if Coventry can get on a winnable run, I would not be surprised they get back into the playoffs again.
Yeah. The next game up, Craig, Blackburn 1, Norwich 1. I went for a Norwich win here. My football knowledge, actually. I get back in the Premier League. At least I know how teams were doing there. I was actually, again, it's a team that's disappointed me this season. And I know the manager hasn't had the backing. And we know how that feels, don't we, Craig? But Thomason was one of the two managers that I wanted before we knew about Enzo, because Enzo was completely left field. Thomas was one of the two managers that I wanted to sort of probably come to Leicester, but he has struggled this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? You know, Blackburn at home as well. You know, is it a good point for them, that game, or is it a disappointing point?
I mean, Blackburn are sort of, they're on 39. They are only, only 4 points off relegation zone, so I think they really sort of needed the win. And Norwich, who were in seventh, Carl, you know, they're on 52. They could have done with the 3 points, and I don't think a draw does either of them any good.
I know, I agree. I think there was a lot of criticism of David Wagner this season about his playing style, but I think he's one of the fans a lot over. As a Blackburn, I think since Thomason, you know, now that John Eustace, with Jordan Thomason taking over the Sweden job, it kind of was a bit of like John Eustace trying to get used to the club. I think he will get them out of the relegation battle. Is he there? Is he coming at the wrong time? I know Jordan Thomason was there till the 8th of February, until there was a completion of him getting the Swedish national team job. But I think for Eustace, he's been there for at least two weeks at minimum. He's trying to get East played. I think Norwich could have got the points and it would have put pressure, because they are really chasing that. I think Wagner's playing good football at the right time. At the start of the season, they were very bit slow, mixed results.
I mean, Craig, what were your thoughts on Thomason? I mean, I didn't realise he'd got the Swedish national job, to be honest with you. That's news to me. It tells me I should do my homework, shouldn't I? It's difficult no matter how good you are. If you don't get the backing, you're going to struggle, aren't you, as a manager?
Well, yeah, and I think like Enzo's come in, he's got the backing of the fans and that. I think it's just some small-minded parts of the, you know, fan base that are just unhappy with the style of play. You know, so we could have, you know, if we took Enzo out of the equation, where would we be now? He's come from a very good footballing background from Man City. He's been learning from the best. So it's his first full season as a manager, I believe. And I think he's doing fantastic. And yeah, all right, I am one of them fans that have, you know, slightly criticised the style of play. Being a season ticket holder for many years and seeing how we're playing, yes, results are going our way at the minute, but you know, could another manager come in and do any better than what Enzo's doing now? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, Carl, you just said then Thomason has been named for the first non-Swede to be a Swedish national manager since George Rayner, who was English, did it in 1958. Thank you, Wikipedia. I mean, Carl, are you surprised how I mean, would you have stuck with him, do you think, or do you think they were right to make the change? I don't think they get playoffs, are they?
Yeah, they had to make the change. I think he was under pressure as well. After the poor season they've had, he was under pressure. But I think because of the Swedish team, national team came, I think we all knew he was going to take it regardless. So it was, you know, who's going to be the right manager coming in for Blackburn? And I think John Eustace fits that mold, especially what he did at Bury and similar. And I think it's, you know, a team who should be not be fighting relegation. It should be more in the top half, right, in the top half of the table every season. So I think it will take time. I don't think we can look at Eustace's season. Yeah, I think give him till the summer to get properly backed, and hopefully he can have a good start next summer. Because yeah. I think for him, it's unfair to have a go at him, especially he's only been at the club for not too long.
Yeah. I mean, next game here, Cardiff 2, or is that 3 or 2? I should have gone to Spectators 2, Stoke 1. When we played Stoke recently, pre-game, I did a preview with the Stoke channel, Craig, and I said at that point, and they were going through sort of changes themselves, and I said I didn't think they would go down because I thought there was 3 worse teams than them. When we played them and, you know, we put 5 past them, they actually asked me on to do a review show. And I said in the nicest possible way, I'm going to take back what I said because I think there's only 2 worse teams than you. And even now, I don't even know if Sheffield Wednesday aren't going to be catching them because, you know, although Sheffield Wednesday are a long way behind. But QPR have overtaken them. Stoke City, 22nd. 35 points. All right, QPR and Millwall are on 36, Huddersfield on 37. But they are in serious danger of going down, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's a shame. Like, you know, Stoke have always been an half-decent team. And, I've been to their ground a couple of times over the years. And they've got a nice little setup and that. So if they were to go down, it would be a great shame to football, really, I think.
It would give me some satisfaction because they got promoted the season we went down to League One. So kind of happy about that. Craig, looking at Cardiff, mid-table 14th. They've lost their last 3 though, but they're safe. They're not going to go down, but they're not going to trouble the playoffs either, are they? Despite this win.
No, and obviously it was a good win. It sounded like it was a close game, 2-1. Do you know what I mean? It could have gone either way. Stoke could have got a point, if not gone for the win. But obviously, Cardiff was the better team on the day. They've took the points. And, you know, after 3 games losing, they've probably had a kick up the backside and needed that one.
Where do you see... Hello?
I'm here, don't worry. Just fixing the camera. Don't worry.
I always wanted, like I said, do you want to sort of come live from the toilet?
I don't know. It just went off. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, I'll be here, though. I'll be here.
Is that, you didn't, I don't think you went off at our end, but I mean, do you see, I can very much see Stoke going down. Can you, Cole?
I do worry about them now. I do now because I don't know how for years so many managers have tried to come in since they got relegated and nothing has happened. They've had to cut back on the team because they had one of the biggest salaries at the time when it came down. But, you know, yeah. I do worry about them. I really do. And I think there's a lot of questions he's been asked on what's going on at the club. I know it's just sad, you know, I just don't know what's happened, how it's gone so dour in the space of 6 years. Really, yeah. Surprising.
They were an established Premier League side, weren't they?
Yeah, 100%.
And Cardiff, like I say, mid-table obscurity again for them, really.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to say hi to Mr. Penis Head. And if you're wondering who that is, Craig from Up the Cherries in all departments. And if you're wondering why I'm calling him Mr. Penis Head, then please do go and check out the Leicester Bournemouth preview and that I just did. It's on the channel now and all will become clear. I'm not going to go any further than that because I could get myself into trouble. I don't want to be sued, but welcome.
You're always trouble though.
I know this. Tell you what, whenever Craig, not sorry, this is, he's called Craig as well. Sorry, Craig. Whenever Craig, well, I'll call him Paddy because that's his nickname. Whenever Paddy comes on, the show always goes in such an awful direction, you know. But anyway, thanks for earlier, Craig. I hope your wife stopped drawing penises on the wall. talking of his wife, there we go. She said hello. Hello, Mrs. Craig. And she apparently was drawing his penis on the wall. I knew it was his because it was so small. If she'd been drawing mine, it would have been a lot bigger. And I told her not to draw mine and to keep it quiet. But anyway, moving on, let's get this back onto football. I tell you, as soon as every time he comes in, you know, excuse me, Ipswich. Yeah. I went to see Craig. I went to see Jeff Stelling and Bianca Westwood, and there was two Ipswich fans, man and wife, sat in front of me, and I said, make the most of it. It's the only time Ipswich will be in front of Leicester all season. And it's pretty much proved right. They've had a little bit of a wobble, but fair play to them. They've come back.
Yeah, they're there, aren't they? You know, they're lurking in the background. And wasn't it last week there was the Crepton? Was it Ipswich that won in the last minute? Was it?
They always seem to, don't they? They always seem to have had that. Whenever I look at their scores, you know, on Saturday, if they're losing or whatever, I think they'll come back and win. They always seem to.
I don't think they're a direct threat to us at the minute, are they? You know, no. I think I've got it down here. They're on 78 points, is it? They're on 72, the same as Leeds, sorry, yeah. I mean, yeah, 6 points. It's still only 6 points, isn't it? But I'm guessing Leeds and Ipswich have got to play each other at some point.
No, we don't. We don't have to play each other. We're done with that now. So, yeah.
Did you do the double over them as well?
We did, yeah.
We did, actually, yes. You had to ask that, Craig, didn't you? But I did say this. The attacking midfielder for Ipswich Town did say that Leicester were the harder team to play. Needed to put that in.
That was Connor's chopper. That's the only based on his wording, not the whole Ipswich the club. So
no, that was good enough for me. I mean, in fairness to Ipswich, Craig, they've only lost 4 games. The problem is they've drawn 9, and a lot of those they've drawn, they needed to be winning, didn't they?
Yeah, and like I'm saying, if they had, then you know it'd be a different story now. It could be like a neck and neck up there, you know, rolling back years when Tottenham were there and then they finished third.
Yeah, indeed, Leeds. Birmingham. Carl, I mean, they've changed the manager. It seems that they have a little bit of a bounce, but nothing's much changed, has it, for them?
We're Tony Moore, but he's going to be out for 6 to 8 with health conditions that he needs to take, and especially he's going to have, yeah. You know, he's not going to be back. It's going to be tough for Barry. I thought he was a right back. He's a right back.
I did. Yeah, I thought he was. Yeah. I thought Rooney was an absolutely penis head of a decision, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And Mowbray seemed to be a really good decision.
It is. But he's going to be missing the timing of 2 months. We don't know how long he's going to be, when he will come back, you know. It was surprising. I think he will regularly communicate to Matt Venus just to make sure if things right with the team, how the squad has been doing it with the training video stuff. But I don't think he'll be involved as much as the decision making, you know, going forward for most games. But yeah, for Bury, it was a tough step there. They had a good chance to get a good point at Ipswich, but it just came with 2 late goals towards the end.
But do you think Birmingham, Carl, have kind of almost written this season off now? Because, you know, the Rooney experiment was a disaster. You know, we can all see that. And I think Mowbray, when he came in, even before sort of his illness, we do wish him all the best, was kind of to steady the ship for this season and maybe move on next season.
Yeah, 100%. I think that was always going to be the case, because I think that's when Berry started well under John Eustace. We thought they were going to be one of the challenges until they brought Rooney in, and look how that messed up, like you said. But I think for Mowbray, it's just like, let's steady the ship for this season. Yeah. We'll rebuild next summer, and then we'll try to get into the playoffs. That's the minimum outcome that Birmingham needs to do for next season.
Before we come on to the next game, Craig, you are this season, as you always do, are doing a charity match. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so as you know, Chris, we me and you go back quite a good few years from when
many years. Yes.
So obviously, as you know, I used to work at Leicester, and I've always got good connections. And last year, we managed to get our second charity football match on at the King Power Stadium in memory of my dad. But then one of my friends lost his mum to cancer as well. So what we've done now is we've teamed up together. He plays on my side, and we've teamed up with the charities Macmillan Cancer Support and Glenfield Hospital is our main two charities that we'll be raising money for this year. And it's the Tuesday, the 21st of May, 5:45 kickoff. And with a little bit of your help and pulling a few strings myself, I've got Ian Stringer coming down to manage our team and Stevie Linex from yourself. So, you know, it should be a good day. Tickets are going to be on sale this week at £15 adults and £5 children. And yeah, there's a lot of planning involved, obviously, but it's just a dream to play at the King Power. No matter whether I've played there once or three times, it's still a dream, and it's putting smiles on other people and giving them a chance, as well as raising
money for some good causes. Ticket information, stick it in the group, you know, Leicester Till I Die, when you and tag me in it on Twitter, and obviously I'll promote it for you. So keep an eye out for that. But it's Tuesday, the 21st of May, did you say?
Yes.
Check it out, guys. Good cause and bit of fun as well. Go and watch a well, we should know by then whether we're up or down. So either go and celebrate or go and drown your sorrows. Next game, Craig, let's have a look at this. Middlesbrough, Plymouth. Surprise result. Well, Plymouth, is it? I mean, let's talk Middlesbrough with yourself. Beat us and then go and lose to Plymouth. A team that, you know, a lot of people were shouting for Carrick to come and be our new manager after half a season at Middlesbrough last season.
When I was surprised at the result against Middlesbrough, but like halfway through the game, I turned around to the locals that we all sit with, and we just said, like, you know, Michael Carrick is a good manager. Is, you know, he's come from a good club. He's had a good career. You know, he was always one of the players I'd look out for with, in, you know, when he was playing for Man United. He's a strong character on the pitch, off the pitch. And Middlesbrough have done all right under his managementship, I think.
They had a good run last season after he came in, just failing to get out through the playoffs. They sold their best striker, I believe, at the start of the season. They have struggled. They're 13th at the moment, 44 points. Probably say that the playoffs is past them this season. You never know totally. But Carl, Plymouth, what a surprise. I mean, They came up. I thought they were going to go straight back down, and that was my prediction at the start of the season of the three clubs that have come up. I thought they would be doing what Sheffield Wednesday are doing, to be honest with you. But fair play to them. You know, they've lost the manager, you know, mid-season as well. You guys beat them the other night in the cup, but I don't think it was a 4-1. No disrespect to Leeds.
Well, I agree as well.
I think it was we talked about it, didn't we? I thought it was a 2-1. They gave a good account of themselves, but were just absolutely knackered on that pitch with that in that weather that night. Again, it's just consistency with them. Won 10, drawn 10, lost 14.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that they're one of the teams in the championship that's conceded the most, but one of those teams in the championship can score more as well. So it's not a surprise that the first season back was going to be off, just stabilised to get back in the championship. You know, I never thought they were going to do Wednesday, Sheffield Wednesday, but I didn't think they would have done. I thought, I said roughly around mid-table, if they stayed in mid-table, they'd be a lot safe, you know, and they could try to build it next season under Schumacher before he went to Stoke. So It is a bit of a change now how the new manager comes in and is going to have to keep most of us. Like Morgan Whitaker is going to be a huge, huge summer player for the summer transfer window for most Premier League clubs, you know. So they're going to have to look for another goal scorer for next summer if they do lose him.
Indeed. And for them, Carl, success is just basically staying up this season, isn't it?
Very much. Yeah, it's just staying up for them this season. It's more vital for them this season. So, yeah, I think they have ticked the boxes mostly. I wouldn't worry about it too much. I think they're safe now.
Yeah. The next game, Craig, and we've got this team coming up. And first of all, I've got to say, for those of us of a certain age, RIP to Stan Bowles, one of the original entertainers associated so much with QPR in their heyday and his heyday. Sad loss to the game. To me, this probably is the game that they could go and kick on from. They gave us a hard game earlier, QPR. They needed to win this one, didn't they?
Yeah, and like you say, you know, coming into the fixture this Saturday, they're going to be buzzing now after that win. And, you know, they're going to want to, you know, it's the away teams always have that little extra, you know, with the fans behind them at the King Power Stadium. The away fans, you know, this season have been tremendous. We've been quite quiet, to be fair, at home. Make more noise. Any away fans make more noise than the home fans. That's just, you know, that's just how it is. With this win, it's going to be, we need to get back on track. You know, we need the 3 points. And I'm just hoping that they come crashing down on Saturday and Leicester actually step up and get the 3 points against QPR.
They gave us a hard game last time. And in fairness, I think the sending off changed the game in our favour.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? You know, you get a sending off and the team with 10 men always seem to play better. But, you know, it can go both ways, can't it? You know, you step up and you play better or you fall apart. So, and it's...
Yeah.
Football's a funny old game.
Oh, it definitely is. Definitely is. Carl, Rotherham, look, for me, this is the game that's doomed them. I mean, they were somehow managed to stay up just last season. If you're not going to go and beat a relegation rival and QPR were in the bottom three with them pre-game, then you've got to be thinking, they've got to be planning for next season in the third tier now, haven't they?
Very much so. They're still on a third tier budget. That's always have been over them ever since they keep coming back up in the Championship. I think the problem is, I think you have the question of some of the fans, you know, I think, have the unjustified criticism is fair. I just think that the club's too big for the Championship, and I think for them it's pointless. They're more of a League One side, you know, with that stadium, that infrastructure, the finances. I think when you're playing in the Championship, you know that the quality is second to none on the opposition teams completely. And they have mostly League One players and one or two League Two players. So I just wouldn't be surprised that. I couldn't see them getting promoted next season, not under Liam Richardson. I think it's going to take a long, longer to rebuild that club.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. I think we can all say goodbye Rotherham, unfortunately. Now, this to me was a surprise. Another one I got wrong, which was most of the predictions this week. Brad's second favourite team, Sheffield Wednesday. And I like Sheffield Wednesday. I have nothing against Sheffield Wednesday. They do seem to pull these results out for Brad, though. They're not giving up without a fight, are they, Craig?
I don't know much about the Sheffield Wednesday results, to be fair.
They seem to sort of win one just when they need to, if you like. And it's almost like another guy that's hanging off the cliff edge by his fingertips. They seem to be like that. They are They're going to need a lot of those. I mean, they are actually, well, no, they're not that far off, to be honest with you. They are only 3 points off QPR in fourth. So they are literally, like I say, hanging on. They've won three of the last five. But again, this was a good win for them away, at home to Bristol City.
Yeah, and again, it's the fight and determination, I suppose, isn't it? Like you say, if they've just won 3-5, you know, again, they've scraped through by one goal. You know, it just goes on how much they stay up and how much they want to fight for that club to stay in that league. And, you know, 3 out of 5, you'd take that all day, wouldn't you? If, you know, if you put Leicester's next 5 fixtures up and you won 3 out of them 5, then, you know, well, you would expect Leicester to do better than that, to be fair, with the way we're going at the minute. But, like I say, with a couple of recent losses, it's a tough one, isn't it, for any team, especially when you're at the bottom as well. You know, you want to get out of the relegation battle. You want to be, you know, a few points clear in case you do slip up a bit later on in the league. But this be doing it at the minute, don't they?
They do. Bristol City, Carl, obviously we've got a soft spot for them when they had Nigel Pearson as their manager. No longer a soft spot for them now. They sacked him. Hasn't really worked out for them. You know, I mean, they were doing okay under Nigel Pearson. They're 12th now, 44 points. Probably not going to get anywhere into the playoffs. But again, to me, they've got to look at this and go that this is a game they should have won.
Absolutely, as well. And I think, listen, Pearson didn't get backed much by the board. And he shouldn't be backed much by the board, especially if you saw a player like Alex Scott for a good nearly £30 million to Bournemouth. You should have had the money. But look, Liam Manning's coming. Give him credit because he did decently at Oxford, you know. But and he's got, and that's another team that is transitioning a bit. They are playing to what his strengths are, but they're still weak in some areas, mostly the midfield area, the very light. So I think they will have to go again next summer as well to get the players in with the since they got the money for that at Scott money and see if they can use it wisely, because they were one of the teams that spent a lot of the few seasons ago in Championship. But I think financial fair play has affected them this season. So I think with the money coming through in the incomings, I think they will be a little bit comfortable next summer to get some decent players in.
I think when you look at, well, no, I'll ask that question at the end, actually, in fairness. Next up, Southampton, Craig. And I don't mean to laugh and be horrible, but, you know, this amazing run that they were on, my God, they've gone crashing down, haven't they?
Well, yeah, they have. You know, at one point it was Leicester, Southampton, and they was our major threat. And then, like I say, Leeds come out of nowhere and started winning a lot of games and putting the pressure on Southampton and Leicester. Southampton have dropped points, but then they've also equalised last minute. And a few weeks ago, there was like 2-0 down and the 1-4-3, something like that.
5-3 gets Huddersfield, yeah.
It's like, how can you be 2-0 down and then like all of a sudden you just turn the heat on and get it? It's determination. And obviously, they went on a nice little run. And unfortunately, they've been unfolded a little and dropped a few points.
Yeah. Did it surprise you, Leeds? Did that surprise you, Carl? I mean, you know, Southampton, it was like the three that had come down were the three that were in the top three positions, you know. Us at the top, obviously. But sorry, just thought I'd throw that in. But, you know, they did go on that fantastic run. But it does seem to be, all right, they're not miles off. But, you know, they're 5 points off you guys now and second. It looks like Southampton may have to settle for the playoffs.
It does. And this is Russell Martin's first big test for a top club in the Championship. Especially, he only had 2 seasons at Swansea as well. I think, after going on the 26 and beating run, you could see at some point it was going to end. And I think after get loose to Bristol City, it's come back to haunt them, because I was surprised how Millwall won that game, especially Millwall sacked Joe Edwards and then bringing Neil Harris back to the club for the second term.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise that they had that determination, Millwall, to win that game, to try and win that game. And I think Southampton will have to make the players. If they don't get promoted, Southampton is fine, because they were the most team that they sold the most, had outgoings, the revenue, the outgoings in the championship. So they're capable of being fine to go again next season because they don't have to worry about any FFP rules because they sold a lot of players for more than 150 million, 200 million altogether last summer. So I wouldn't worry about them too much anyway because they are going to get some outgoings in the summer and they will make get some good ingoings if they don't get promoted.
I mean, Millwall, look, everybody hates them. And I went for, as you can guess, I went for Southampton home win. They'd lost the previous four games, Carl, and yet they did that surprise. And that's why I think is going to be Southampton's Achilles heel. They had that good run, but now, you know, they win a few, then lose, then win a few, then lose. You guys, and us up until recently, weren't losing that many.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And it will be Southampton's Achilles heel because, like I said, some of the players that they bought, I think it was Ross Stewart, who got injured after the first few games after he signed for Sunderland. It is a bit of a worry because it's still a young team at Southampton. And Russell Martin is, you know, doing, but when you put, I think the opposition teams now are not, well, some of them are, mostly opposition are now saying, we need to stop being afraid against teams like Leicester, Leeds and Southampton. We need to pick up those points. And Huddersfield nearly did it, but at least, you know, that Millwall has done to pick up the points to try to, you know, fight them off the relegation zone as well, because they're fighting their back, their place to stay in the championship as well.
Yeah. The next game up here, Craig, a team that Simon Jordan on TalkSport hasn't been very happy with. Sunderland losing to Swansea. Again, right at the start of the season, I thought they gave us a difficult game and they were up there. And I thought, oh, this is going to be, I think I had Sunderland again to finish in the playoffs. It has all unraveled for them. Michael Beale, you know, proved to be a mistake. But he seems to be a mistake wherever he goes, to be honest with you, south of the border. Did this result surprise you?
Again, Chris, I'm not too familiar with it, with the positions of these two. I've not done my own work on this game. So
no, don't worry, don't worry. Well, Sunderland, let's have a look. I've lost some. Oh, they're in 10th. They've only won one of the last five, including this. Swansea, obviously, who we played not so long ago, they're in 17th. They've won two of the last five. But again, yeah, you know, Sunderland, they've made that change now.
Oops, then, isn't it, really, for both teams? Obviously, Sunderland being at home in the better position than Swansea, did you say? So,
yes.
Would it be which I was going to touch on about squad sizes, injuries. You know, if we get a couple of injuries in our team, we've got a big enough and a decent enough squad to sort of like for like players. Whereas probably teams like Sunderland, Swansea are going to be struggling for, you know, selections and consistency. You know, you can only pick your best 11, but then have they got another 7 or 8 players that are going to match the ones that are going to be in and out of the squad? Whereas, you know, us and probably Leeds as well and Southampton have got a bigger squad than these teams and able to rotate and bring in like for like players.
Yeah, indeed. Nate, all the best, mate. I'm not sure what time it is over there in America, but good luck, mate. And thanks very much. Hopefully, but my only my second game this season. The last one was Southampton when we beat them. So fingers crossed. I'm just looking here. Brendan Rodgers condemned as a dinosaur for sexual comment to female reporter. I mean, Craig, very quickly. Brendan Rodgers says something stupid in a press conference. Who knew?
Well, no comment.
Yeah, trust me, I think it's not since he said that over the weekend, a lot of fans up here in Scotland have not been happy at all for what he said, especially he's under pressure at the moment because Rangers are now 2 points ahead of them now.
Yes, yeah, because were Celtic above Rangers at one point
just about two weeks ago? Yeah, they were still right. Yeah,
never mind, Brendan, I'm sure you'll turn it round.
He won't.
Anyway. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize I'd done that out loud then. Right. Go back to this game. Sorry, I just come up on my feed. I thought I hadn't realised quite what he'd said. This game, Carl, again, Sunderland have thrown it away this season, haven't they? Beale was a complete and utter mistake.
Very much so to me. He wasn't the fans' favourite for what I was hearing. And especially if you're the team, for what I feel, the players didn't gel well to him. They did not want him. For what I was hearing the reports about this, it's not surprising. And they were really trying to get back into the playoff race again. You know, they played good football under Tony Mowbray last season, you know, and I think they wanted to, you know, and then decided they wanted to change, you know, but he was, you know, and sort of got a good, decent squad as well, because they got Jack Clark from Leeds, who's, you know, who's going to be a £25-30 million player. He got Joe Bellingham, Jude Bellingham as well, he's going to be another next big thing at some point as well. So there is a lot of, I think, Sunderland need a manager that really has got that pedigree. And for crying out loud, this Steve Cooper, who's available, could be the right fit for Sunderland to take that club back, to take that club to the next level. But as for Swansea, I think Swansea just lucky they got that win because of Sunderland's poor form at the moment, but it was under Beale, and it's continued since post-Beale era.
Yeah. Almost at the end, but last but one game, Watford 1-2, Craig. Watford dropping like bride's underpants on a wedding night. I mean, you know, 21st in the form table. They've not won in the last five. Up against the Huddersfield Town team, who are one place behind us in the form league. They've actually, I don't know what they've done because their figures aren't adding up. But anyway, they're eighth in the form table. Huddersfield needed this because, you know, it takes them up to 19th. Gives them it's only sort of 2 points, but it does keep them out of that bottom three, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they're going to be buzzing about that. And like I say, it's as tight as it is at the top, it sounds like it is at the bottom as well. So, you know, it's like I said earlier, it's dog eat dog. There's teams that are winning games, losing games, and then the following week, it's reversed. Do you know what I mean? You can go out and win a game like Huddersfield have this weekend, but then next game, they could perhaps get hammered 3-4-0. So they're back to square one. Like you say, if they're only 2 points clear at the minute, 2 points is not a lot, really. It is literally one game.
You're quite right. I mean, Carl, Watford, they've only won 1 in 5. I mean, they're still sat in 11th. So, but again, 44, they're not going to probably make the playoffs because I can't see them suddenly going on a great run. I don't know what's gone wrong with them this season.
No, neither do I. And I think there's
some issues. Not the manager. Maybe that's what they need to do.
I know. And that's a surprising thing that you just sat the manager by now. But I think there's a lot of change going on. For what I've been hearing, Watford are linked to a takeover from what I heard a few months ago. And I think that's the point. So it'll be the end of the puzzle of family who owns the club, owns Udinese. As for Huddersfield, they had a new manager about to bring Andrew Bryan, Nick Reiter, who used to be the manager at Schalke and managed a few second Bundesliga clubs, coming at the right time, and they actually did put that very well. So it's not surprising that the new manager bounce coming in. And I think sacking Darren Moore was probably the right decision they needed to do. You know, but I think for Watford at the moment, it's going to be another summer again. I think the ownership situation is going to be the big talking point for them over the summer if there is a change of ownership. And I think it will see where the club goes long-term wise.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. I don't think we have to talk about any more games, do we? What? We've covered that was the last game on Saturday.
No. You know we have to top the game on Friday night. Come on.
We did. Coventry. Yeah, we've
done
it.
No. You're not sliding that easily, okay? Let's get this over done with. Come on. You know you want to. Come on. You know you want to. Come on.
Honestly, get that open top bus out the garage again. Look, when I look back on it, I did a watch along for it, Craig. Look, first of all, let me just say, I think I've upset most Leeds fans. What I don't get is if a Leeds fan comes onto a Leicester channel, is how surprised they are that the Leicester host is supporting Leicester.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, I mean, you don't come on when your team's just lost to expect us to go, weren't Leeds wonderful? You know, it's not going to happen, even if you were.
No, it should happen with you. The only thing that will happen with, if it was a Man United fan or TV channel, then you can debate about that one. But if it's a Leicester one, I think it's 50-50.
But, I mean, Craig, look, when I look back on it, they were saying it was a game of two halves. I think we were the better team, but we did not take our chances. I mean, my mother could have put that one away that Daka missed, and she's been dead 5 years.
It's what frustrates me the most in today's football is that the top two tiers of probably one of the best leagues in the world have not got VAR. Like Premier League have, Championship should have, I think. And then obviously it's down to whoever decides where VAR goes. But the top two leagues in the world, like in each league, should have VAR. Do you know what I mean? And anyway, look, it happened. Leeds won. Daka, we could talk about Daka all night. Some would say he's fantastic. Some would say he's an average bang player. My opinion is split between him, because if that goal had stood, then maybe it would have been a different result. But then if he had put that chance away, that like you've just said, Chris, anyone could have put that away. He plays football week in, week out. I know players make mistakes, but he's one-on-one with a goalkeeper. He's only got to tap it in.
And I think Mabadidi's getting a bit of an easy ride here because he missed a bit of a sitter as well. But
you know what? He frustrates me sometimes because he is very good. He's very quick. He's very skillful. I just think his decision-making sometimes can be a lot better. But he's a young player. It's his first season with us. And, you know, he's got a lot to learn.
I mean, I look at that second goal. Sorry, the goal that Daka scored and was then disallowed, Craig. And I thought he was offside looking at it on the first replay. It was only when they sort of went, you know, third and fourth time, I'm thinking like, yeah, that's come off a Leeds player. I know what you're saying about VAR. And to me, the Championship is probably the fifth best league in the world. Once you got past the Premier in the world, in Europe, once you got past the Premier, the German, the Spanish, the French, Italian, etc., it's up there. But would you really want, I know we lost the game and that was a goal. It should have been allowed. The refereeing was awful during the whole match for both teams. But would you prefer VAR there, or would you prefer not to have VAR and say, well, look, you know, the refs are human and the linesman?
Hey, do you know what, Chris? You know, if that result was to stop us winning the league or even going up or just falling into a playoff place, how many fans would then turn around and say, oh, I wish we had VAR because we would be up there now. Do you know what I mean? So you're chasing, ain't you? You're chasing an answer that you're never going to get the true answer. You know,
that's a good point. But for me, I'd sooner not have VAR, but that's just my personal opinion. And if for any reason, if we don't go up or we don't end up in the top two, that's not just the one game that's done it. We would have played sort of 46 games.
One game
is not going to make our whole season.
And, you know, like you say, we are good enough to... We've been up there quite a long time now. And, no disrespect to any other team, we're still 6 points clear. But that could change again this weekend. Like you say, QPR could come. They're fighting at the minute. They could turn us over. It just depends who's available. I've heard Vardy's out now for a good few weeks or months. Yeah. You know, he probably would have started against QPR. We've got Iheanacho coming back. Is he any better than Daka? Why is Tom Cannon starting? You know, he's young, fresh blood. Why is he not starting? You know, Iheanacho's had his chances. I doubt Daka might start Saturday. So is Tom Cannon in the running to start? Do you know what I mean?
They reckon Cannon could be starting tomorrow against Bournemouth, but like you say, who knows? Carl, oh god, this hurts. Look, well done, mate. Well done on the win.
Sitting there patiently waiting to celebrate.
He has. Yes, I'll edit this bit out. It's not live, don't worry. But no, it is, unfortunately. Look, no, well done on the win. All banter aside, from a neutral's point of view, what a fantastic game to watch. I did think probably we were the slightly better side. Number of shots were pretty much the same. Shots on target, pretty much the same. The difference is we should have killed the game off before you even got into it. We didn't take our chances. You did. And therefore, you deserve the 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you agree. You guys should have killed the game off completely. I was really surprised, you know. And I think the change came when Connor Roberts came on. I think we need something a bit more on the right hand side because, you know, Archie Graham was getting sprinted by Mandini on the right so much, and put Gray on the left, which helped a bit in the last 15 minutes. And as soon as Connor Roberts scored, and I thought, yeah, that's a game changer. Now Leeds will come in, now going to come in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game to see we could try to get a result. And then all of a sudden, that double deflection as well would actually get a shot here. And it went out fairs. It just so, it was like, what the hell just happened? Leicester thought they won this game. I'm like, bloody hell. And all of a sudden, you know, the momentum just swinging a favor. The fans came alive. And I think you guys was just didn't know what to do. You were stunned. Like, Jesus Christ, we've been waiting for Leeds to respond, but we knew it was going to respond in that circumstances, and then it just changed so much. And I think, you know, it just, yeah, those last 15 minutes were just was momentum for us to say, you know, to say mentally and physically, because like I said, 6 points, it's not a huge gap. Things can change, like everyone said, but I think the moment swings a bit because we were like zero chance in the Octa supercomputer last week saying we had no chance to be champions. It was no chance. It was more second place. But that might be increased a little bit now, that percentage. You know, who knows? And like I said, what way we turned it around, and Daniel Farke, you know, settled in. You know, he took time to settle in. He's got the plane. He knows the championship. I think his experience might tip us just to win the league. But who knows? You know, it's gonna be tight, really tight.
Well, one thing sure, you can't beat us again this season.
Hey, we wish we could. Okay, that is a fair point. The top side team we got not much is we've got Southampton. I think we've got Hull coming up as well in a few weeks as well. So we've got some of them in the top half, but not all of them because we've played the majority of them. So we've got not a bad run in. It's just when you guys go to Ipswich, that is a huge game next. Well, you got to win, you know, if you want, you know. So
we played Ipswich twice.
Southampton. Southampton. You played them already. Yeah, it's hard to play
that
twice.
That is a big game. That is a big game. And we're not really doing it in the big games, are we, Craig? I mean, when Leeds got it back to 1-1, I wasn't even shocked. I wasn't even annoyed because I just knew it was going to happen because we weren't taking our chances.
So the fans were buzzing after that, the first goal that Leeds scored. So the momentum were there with the players, and then they just took the chances. You know, like obviously, if you don't shoot, you're not going to score. They shot it. Yeah, all right, it was a deflection, but they still took the shot on. You know, times to get into the Leeds United half, and we will play the ball back. And this is the story of our life this season, Chris. You know, I'll go down there every home game. And all right, I know we've won a majority of the games, and I'm excited, but it's the style of play we play at the minute, which I think's just it's too slow sometimes. And teams are now getting what we're doing and just attacking. And Leeds did that on Friday night. You've seen now they scored their first goal, and then within couple of minutes they scored a second goal, and then you know, the free kick just topped it off.
Well, Bamford got that touch, so it is goal. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, none of them are own goals, but there was a few deflections.
The second one was your own goal. It did count as a goal for that phase, which is he's a typical scorer for both heads, isn't it?
I don't think he's gone down as an own goal for that phase, has it?
It did, actually. It wasn't on target, so...
Yeah. I mean, when I mean, look, let's be honest. It was a great, as I say, Carl, it was a great advert for Championship football. It's made, from a neutral point of view, a great game to watch, but it's also made the title race more interesting, let's be honest, from a neutral point of view. because it's not all over now. It's like, oh God, you know, when Manchester City are 10 points ahead or whatever. But we've got a manager that is still, and as much as we love him, he's still learning. You know, this has been his, like Craig said earlier, his first full season. Before joining us, he'd only ever been either an assistant manager or when he was at Palmer as a manager, he only lasted 12 games. So he's still kind of learning. You've probably got the best manager in the top six for experience. And that, I think, makes a difference as well.
It does. I know Farker was linked with Leicester as well. So he had a good lot of suitors. And I think we pushed that one to get him because we felt like he's another Bielsa, but less of a of that physicality what Bielsa is, but a bit more, okay, there's a lot of other plans that if things don't work out, we can't change the game, you know, when we need to. And we've picked up more points than we did on Bielsa the first two seasons. One more games under, we've conceded less of the under Bielsa than we did with Bielsa. So it has changed so much how we've played a lot more than we wanted to, especially that we've got a stability side that is not doesn't change at the 11 as much as often as we did do the first half of the season.
Indeed. Oops, I pressed the wrong button there. Very quickly then, just to round the show off, and let me just do that. So, that wasn't what I wanted to do. That shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that either. We'll have to leave it as that. I'm not sure. Not sure what's going on here, but it worked earlier, but it refuses to work now. Just typical, that, isn't it? there we go. Let's go back to that. So there's the league. Rotherham, Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke, like I say, now the bottom three in that order. But Stoke are on 35, Sheffield Wednesday 32. Rotherham, even at this early stage, they're gone. They've won three games all season, 19 points. But 35 points in third from bottom for Stoke. Then QPR above them just on goal difference. Millwall just 1 point more. Huddersfield 2. Birmingham 3. Swansea 4. Anybody really, Craig, from, well, even as high as Blackburn, well, Plymouth I think will probably be safe, but anybody from Blackburn down in 16th could be dragged into that third spot, couldn't they?
Yeah, 100%, mate. Like I said, it's as much as it's interesting at the top for them fans and them people that support them teams. It's, you know, it's going to be worrying times for them because one game changes everything. You know, like 3 points is 3 points at the end of the day, and no matter how you go out and win that game, like I say, QPR coming to us on Saturday, sitting. Did you say fourth from bottom?
They are, yeah. They've got that momentum because that win that they had at the weekend took them out of the bottom three.
They come to us thinking that they can beat the league leaders, and you know, who says they can't?
Well, exactly. I'm not as confident as I should be. But then let's have a look, and that hopefully should be the top of the table. I think that has changed.
Who's Leeds got this week?
We have got, I think we away actually to, no, not to Huddersfield actually. I think it's Huddersfield this weekend. Yeah, we're away to Huddersfield this weekend. Yeah.
Well, local derby.
Derby, I know. Like I said, I wish I was back home, back in Huddersfield, but yeah, it's a local derby. So it's a 12 o'clock kickoff as well. So yeah, but it's not on Sky. That's the weirdest thing. So
probably want to get you a lot before you get into the pub. But looking at that, there is still, I mean, Leeds, well done again, Leeds, but come on, you know, you put that open top bus away.
I love the open top bus. I think the more you hate it, the more I just start to love it now. So you better be careful how you send the open top bus because it is going to make us more love it. And it will come. So just be careful with your words.
There is still a 6 point gap there, though. So look, you know, but I think the top four there are pretty much nailed on to that. You know, they will be in that top six. But I think from West Brom down, Craig, again, anybody could make that, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. It's going to be a scrappy last 10 games left.
Yeah,
going to be a scrappy one at the bottom, isn't it? You know, it's going to be exciting at the top. Scrappy bottom, because no one wants to go down to League One, especially the team down there at the minute. Like you say, Rotherham, you know, that it's not a, really a loss, is it? But Stoke City, QPR, you know, it's going to be a big shock if they go down to League One.
Yeah. Last thought, Carl. I mean, you know, Watford, I don't think are going to make the playoffs. No. So I think from Sunderland, Coventry, Preston, Norwich, Hull, West Bromwich, I think the final two will come from those six, won't it?
I don't think so. I think Sunderland will miss out completely. I think it's from Coventry onwards to West Brom. I think Sunderland, whoever manages to come in needs a huge bounce to try to get make a late push to the playoffs. But I think at the moment it's between West Brom to all the way down to Coventry. I think Coventry still got that momentum, you know, Preston has one, but depends how they finish the end of the season. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, it is indeed. Right, got to say, whoops, no, got to say that. I used to be good at this, you know. There we go, that's what I wanted to do. Are you going to the match tomorrow, Craig?
No, unfortunately not. My under-9 girls are playing tomorrow.
Good luck to the under-9 girls, then. Thanks so much for coming on. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
No, thank you for the invite. It's been good. Thank you.
And we'll have a chat tomorrow time and see where we go on this one. And Carl, give a shout out to your channel.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Yeah, you can find me at the LH Football Pod on Twitter. Also, you can find the YouTube channel at the Total Leave Your Home Football Podcast. I am doing back bits and more streams. I was back on when I started the show last Saturday. So I am doing a bit more streaming during the week, but I am doing some shorts put as well too. So that will be upcoming. And also, you can look on the podcast and go on all the podcasting search platforms.
And of course, don't forget, guys, the other place that you can find Carl is second place in the championship. Just to add that at the end. Did I say that out loud? I do apologize.
Yeah, you said it loud, didn't you? Yeah, you knew you were going to say it. So don't, yeah.
And fingers crossed, Carl. I'll be adding to this picture on the wall.
You'll see. I bet that picture's going to be on my wall at the end of the season. So,
Can I just say, all joking aside, and I will leave with a thought, and I actually got shot down by a Leeds fan for not being, what's the word I'm looking for? Not being sort of wanting to do well enough. Because I said, it's all about second at the end of the day. I don't care whether we finish. I'd love to finish top because it means we'll be one ahead of Man City in second tier wins. I'd love to get the most points, of course I would, but it is all about finishing second, because if you finish second, whoever finishes above you will be promoted, but whoever finishes below you isn't necessarily guaranteed promotion. Finishing second is, that should be the target.
Well, you say that to us. We did say second a while back, but who knows? We might be top of the table again, actually. So, who knows? So, yeah, you might be below us, but you might have to look carefully with the other teams behind you. So,
Can I just say, Craig, I was actually referring to Leeds when I was talking about that then.
I know. He knows. He knows he was. He knew he was. You're not fooling us.
Guys, thank you so very much. Have a good rest of the night. All the best. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, guys. See you later.
Bye bye. Thanks to Craig and thanks to Cole there. He knows I love him. He knows I love him, Cole. It could be worse. He could live in Scotland. Whoops. I'm getting the finger off camera here, I tell you. Come on, St. Johnson. But look, thanks very much, guys. I am, like I say, at the match tomorrow. Look at that. Yay! If you see me at the match, I'll be there with my son and daughter-in-law. Hit me with a copy of The Sun and say, I claim my £5, and I'll tell you where to go. But look, yeah, if you see me, do come up and talk to me. No watch along tomorrow because I'm going to watch the game, like I say, live. I don't know whether to do a blog or not, because I just want to, I'm with my son, I'm with my new daughter-in-law, I just want to kind of enjoy the game, so I may or may not do a match day vlog, I don't know, but either way, we'll be back on Thursday for a preview of the QPR game. Ooh, am I nervous? Too bloody true I am. All the best. Gonna say, end it and be serious now. Well done, Leeds. You deserve the win. You took your chances. Well done. I will see you all on Thursday. Take care. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.